Take a look at this. Very important. Psalm 85. And I'm going to begin at verse 4. Well, let's go ahead and begin at verse 1. Psalm 85, beginning at verse 1. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. Some people define iniquity as very, very wicked sins that just abhor God. I mean, all sin is sin, but not all sin is equal. And there are sins that are worse than others. And those that are worse than others really abhor God. They really repulse him. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. So often, people make the decision for one reason or another, as I mentioned earlier, to disconnect from God, to depart from God, to turn their backs on God and walk away from him, to begin living a lifestyle that they know he disapproves of, even after they had for a while been living in a way that he does approve of. And there are consequences for that decision. And at some point, God's displeasure with us translates to our own misery. At some point, there's a price to pay for living the opposite of the way God wants us to live. They've begun to pay a price for having departed from God. And when they were paying that price long enough, and the price was severe enough, some of them were astute enough to realize, hey, you know what? We have brought this hardship on ourselves. We have brought this trouble on ourselves by having departed from God, by having entered into sinful lifestyles that we know are displeasing to God. We need to return to him, and we need to ask him to forgive us again, to cleanse us again, to restore us again, and to save us again. Grant us your salvation. In verse 8, he writes, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly, to foolishness. Let them not return to that again. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. And there again, we have that connection between righteousness and peace. Verse 11 reads, faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you of something that I've shared a number of times in the past. Although there are a lot of people who claim that the Bible says more about money, financial prosperity, than it does about any other subject, that's really not true. First of all, keep this in mind. Although God does indeed talk about money in the Bible, he does talk about money in the Bible. But very often, he talks about money in a negative way. In other words, he warns us about the wrong use of money. He warns us against the wrong mindset and the wrong perspective pertaining to money. The money in and of itself is always good, but the use of it and people's emphasis on it is often bad. And so much of God's mention of money in the Bible is to let us know, be on your guard against money. And when it comes to righteousness, he talks about righteousness much more than he talks about money. And he is advocating, promoting righteousness. And here again, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Shalom was the desired state of harmony and communion between two covenant partners, including God and man, its presence signifying God's blessing in the covenant relationship. Its absence, the absence of shalom, peace, signifying the breakdown of the relationship between the covenant partners, God and man. And when the covenant was falling apart, it wasn't the covenant itself that was falling apart. There were people who were refusing to keep the covenant. God, always faithful to his promises. Mankind, not so much. Let's ask God to help us love him so much that we will indeed accept the covenant that he offers to us and have our minds made up that we're going to keep our covenant with our God. More on peace the next time.